The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request. Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now, here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. It's great to be with you. And folks, if you haven't yet been over to our new show on Voice America Variety, we're also running Trust Across America. Part of our initiative to rebuild trust back in this markets, we're doing that every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. And for 6 years, I've loved coming on this network, Voice America, to share the insights of not only what's going on within the market, but bringing on the top portfolio managers, the top leaders. And as we've really pushed forward on Voice America, with our Trust Across America, we're going to be bringing on more and more experts on corporate strategy. We're going to bring on today Willie Peterson, former CEO of Tropicana Seagram USA and a professor over at the Columbia Business School of Practice of Management. And Willie should be an exceptional guest, helping us learn more about learning and adapting. Maybe rather even more important than being the smartest guy in the room. And that's really, folks, what investing is all about. We've been trying to share for 6 years, rather than give you a stock of the day, trying to teach you how to invest. And, you know, interestingly, I've noticed there's a lot more traffic on the website magnetinvesting.com lately, the new book that's still out. The Magnet Method of Investing really kind of shares with you not what we think is going to happen tomorrow, but trying to remember that in every single decade, there are leaders that do well regardless of who, if it's a Republican or Democrat in office, whether interest rates are rising or falling. Usually they have, in fact, a very adaptive management that goes into new businesses, exploits opportunity. And, you know, interestingly, although this is a very strong bull market we're in right now, I remind you it's probably the most unloved bull market in my career. And so last year, coming off of a climax bottom, we saw a 75%, that's right, a 75% increase in the S&P 500. We saw bigger gains in the smaller and mid-cap indexes. We saw even further stronger gains in the elite group of companies we call the magnet stocks. And what we're interested in primarily are companies not that are cutting costs and figuring out how to squeeze more blood out of an employee, but more importantly, developing new products, entering new markets, using a talent to attract new employees that can actually figure out some sort of competitive advantage until, of course, competition comes. And that's why it's so important to remain adaptive and competitive. So what we see here right now in our market is yet another example of a huge corporation helping to blow the trust of Wall Street. And again, we're not going to focus on who's doing badly. The whole focus in our other organization, the Trust Across America, is highlighting the good guys. But you can't help but for individuals to feel that the market is rigged, that Wall Street's not their friend, that big business is in fact the enemy. And that's why we actually see $4 trillion or 40% of the value of the whole stock market sitting in money markets earning less than one-third of 1%. Not because that's where they want to leave their money, because they're just confused. They're hearing about a recession. They're hearing about no one's able to find a job. They're hearing about banks in precarious situations. They're hearing about healthcare reform that nobody realizes. And we're hearing about a tapped-out consumer that just won't spend. Now, very important to tune out what you're hearing and take a look at what you're seeing. So today I have in front of me the list yesterday of the companies that made new highs and new 52-week lows on the New York Stock Exchange. And I hope you're sitting down, because I'm not. Banks had 65 new highs yesterday. The second sector with the most amount of new highs was retail, followed by medical, followed by real estate, followed by consumer companies. Unbelievable if you're hearing again about banks in bad shape, the consumer tapped out. Where were the new lows? Well, the point is there weren't new lows. There were only a total of 12 new lows in the entire New York and NASDAQ combined. Of those companies, there are only about four companies that trade over $10 a share that made a new low, and none of those companies have any earnings to be really in awe of at all. But instead, the whole presence of what the magnet stock selection process, the thesis behind the book, the magnet method of investing, that in every measurable area, whether it's the size of trees, the size of buildings, the weight of human beings, the thickness of a human hair, put under a bell curve, 90% of everything measurable is just average. Well, then there's the below average, where in the business world, in the media world, they get all the attention, what companies can't meet pension obligations, what companies are going out of business, what companies did wrong. And then on that right side of the bell curve, the very thin side, are those companies that are actually increasing their revenues the fastest, their margins the fastest, their cash flow the fastest, that still trade at a big discount to their valuation and to their growth, and they're actually still going up in price. So let me actually remind you, without even using any names, if you like movies, folks, are you going to Blockbuster anymore? Maybe, maybe not. The company is teetering on bankruptcy. You might be getting your movies in the mail, okay? And if you are, you own that company, it's one of the companies making a huge, powerful new high in today's market. On what? No, not on cost-cutting, on strong earnings. If you happen to be in a company that for some reason is able to attract the very best young employees, figure out a way to engage them, figure out a way to treat their customers right, their suppliers right, their community right. Well, instead of actually only using the magnet stock selection process, we've teamed up with a group of the largest organizations that actually rank companies on issues like corporate board structure, transparency of earnings reports, sustainability of the community and their long-term engagement of employees. And we've created, yes, another acronym that combines all these facts together, and we call it FACTS. And there's more information on there on TrustAcrossAmerica.com. Right after the show, in fact, we're headed down to the New York Stock Exchange, where we're meeting with some specialists who are probably going to take this new way of looking at companies, which is not based on quarterly earnings, which is based on something way more important and sustainable. So what I could share with you is that while the world runs around waiting for the next piece of ash to fall from the sky, the next explosion to rush media cameras to, we're talking about there should be and could be a focus on just the best performing companies. The interesting thing, though, just like sports and entertainment, the best names, the strongest names, don't remain the same names decade after decade. And this is why, just like our next guest is going to talk about being adaptive within business, you have to be adaptive within handling your investments. What worked 1 year with an individual company may not work, but if there's a way of actually isolating the best companies, the best performers, if you will, not only in terms of stock performance, but in terms of the concrete, measurable ways companies can be evaluated, well, you take the perceived casino feel out of the game, the perceived risk feeling out of the game, and simply turn the percentages and odds in your favor. That's what the Magnet Method of Investing is all about. Head over to magnetinvesting.com, take a peek. But, folks, it's time for a break, and I think you're in for a treat. We're going to bring on a professor from Columbia with a new book out, terrific new book I'm holding, Strategic Learning by Willie Peterson, former CEO of a company I think you may have heard of, Tropicana, Seagram USA. Folks, we'll be right back with Willie Peterson following this quick break. Stick with us. I think you're in for a treat.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Magnet Investing. And as a tradition of our show, rather than give out the stock of the day, We bring on the most respected professionals in the industry. I'd like to now bring on an expert in corporate strategy, a former CEO of Tropicana Seagram USA, a professor over at Columbia Business School on the Professor of Practice of Management. Great subject. It's Willie Peterson. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Jordan. Good to be with you.
Well, we're happy to have you. We appreciate you taking the time. And what I'd like to do first, if I could, the M in Magnet stands for management, and it's the person behind it all. So if you could just take a few minutes on your own background first. We know you're the author of Strategic Learning, which is just coming out here and hitting the bookshelves. But if you can go over your own background a little bit, I think that would be tremendous, and we'll get started.
Sure. Well, the first thing, I suppose, is to explain my accent. People will wonder where I'm from. I was born and raised in South Africa and had an international business career, lived in different countries and ran various businesses, lived in the UK for a period of time, in Holland and then in Australia, came to the US in 1980 and became a citizen in 1990, and delighted to be a citizen of the USA. I get teased sometimes and told I don't sound like an American, but I want to tell you I feel like one, and that, I think, is the main thing. And my background beyond that is that I describe myself as a detribalized practitioner. And what I mean by that is that the major part of my career was running companies like Tropicana, as you've mentioned, and Seagram USA, the Lever Brothers Foods business in the U.S. prior to that. And for the last 15 years, I've been at Columbia Business School as a professor of the practice of management. It's terrific. I love this second career. And I spend about half my time teaching and the other half of my time doing consulting work and writing, and hence my new book.
Well, terrific. It's a tremendous background. And, you know, paging through your book and reading through it, here's what I find interesting. Sometimes people talk about the smartest guy on the street, the strongest guy in an environment, but I think that we've learned that the most adaptive leaders are the most successful. And your new book that's out, Strategic Learning, is really what you're talking about, how to be smarter than your competition, turn key insights into competitive advantage. But tell us what you mean by the new competitive context that business is in.
Sure. You know, there's a little acronym that was developed by the U.S. military to describe the current environment, and they call it VUCA, V-U-C-A. And that's a good description of the kind of environment we operate in. VUCA, let me explain. Volatile. The U stands for uncertain. The E is for complex, and the A is ambiguous. So it's volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, much more than we've ever had in history. We have always had changes. I mean, think of the invention of electricity and how it changed the world, the invention of aviation or X-rays or radio or television. But if you go back in time, those were profound, but there's been no era in history where the volume of information has been as great because of the Internet, and the pace of change has been as great as well. So the issue we confront as organizations is how can we successfully adapt to an environment that is changing, is much more global, and much more complicated than we've ever had to operate in before. And so essentially what I'm saying is we need to get rid of the old notion of strategy as planning, which is fine for a static world or a slow-changing world, and introduce the notion of strategy as learning. And that gives us that adaptive capability by being able to interpret the changing environment and rapidly translate insights into action. But the key is to do it over and over, because the reality is the environment will not stand still for us at any time. I love Einstein's quote, when he said, life is like riding a bicycle. You either move forward or you fall off.
Right, right. And, you know, clearly I think your point about more information and the rate of change accelerating, You know, what I find interesting is you have worked at some of the larger organizations, and I guess one of the things that's been a subject lately on the show, we talk about employee engagement, maybe a more of a flat environment where leaders can learn and engage their employees. Do you have any opinions on that? Is that something that you believe is important?
Very much so. You know, if the whole game here is to outsmart competitors, what we really have to do in our organizations is unlock that creativity, curiosity, the ability to question, to challenge assumptions, the ability to make sense of things, to learn from what we do and what's happening out there. And the more we're able to mobilize the creative intelligence of the entire organization, the better off we'll be. Now, you can't do that through exhortation. I mean, you can't just stand on your soapbox as a leader of an organization and say, please, I want everybody to generate insights, and we want to translate that rapidly into action. The way the work gets done in organizations, any important work, whether it's a small organization or a large one, is by designing a business process that makes the right things happen. So we can't do it through exhortation and through slogans. And so what I've done is to create a process that I call strategic learning, mm-hmm. whereby there is active participation in teams that pursue a thing I call a situation analysis, a team on customers, a team on competitors, a separate team on the trends in the external environment, in the industry, if you like, mm-hmm. and then another team on our own realities. And I give these teams a set of guiding questions. I explain this in my book. And the teams then work to generate insights, which will then be distilled and summarized and used as the basis for, this is the way we will create competitive advantage in our game, in our competitive contest, and these are the priorities we'll work to. But it becomes a matter of collective inquiry and the extraction of key insights with these teams working together. So participation is key.
Right, and I think that's a great way to put it, really leveraging the employees. And I think that I want to just share with our guests, you know, a lot of times around this time we'll have a couple more questions, but we'll ask for contact information. Willie Peterson's been kind enough to join us for a second segment. We're going to get into all kinds of other issues with other stakeholders. But I think part of what I saw in your book that really attracted me too, strategic learning, is this concept of leading through crises. We're seeing more and more companies embroiled, you know, with the media just exploiting crises. And, you know, can you share with us, you know, Chapter 10, Leading Through a Crisis?
Yes, by all means. You know, a very topical example of that is this volcanic ash.
Mm-hmm.
What it reminds us of is that not everything is predictable. Same thing happened with the economic meltdown. People didn't sit down a month before and say, you know, in 4 weeks' time, we're going to be confronted with this massive economic downturn that we're going to have to cope with. So stuff happens, and life is messy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't predict everything. Now, if you take the current volcanic ash issue, suddenly this happened. And it's a reminder, if you step back, of how we are critically dependent on three elements in our global business environment. One is the movement of people. The second is the movement of things. And the third is the movement of information.
Mm-hmm.
And just look what happened. We had a disruption in the movement of people. People were stranded, they got delayed, and there were productivity costs and social costs and distress and anxiety. And then it began to interfere with the movement of things. And it reminded us of our just-in-time global supply chain. Things got held up, and there were shortages, and fruit started rotting, and flowers started perishing, and so supply chains got interrupted. And then the big things that couldn't move were aircraft, and they started losing, $200,000 a day, I think, if you add it all up. And so what did we do? We said, well, let's now rely on the movement of information. Let's do this stuff through video conferencing, voice conferencing by phone. And now what we're relying on is this third element. Here's a reminder that unless we attend to the robust protection of our IT infrastructure at a national and at a corporate level, we're very vulnerable to that third element being disrupted as well, and that could be the most damaging of all. But here I think, you know, and it's a good way to step back and say this sort of stuff happens and reminds us of these three critical things: movement of people, movement of things, movement of information. Let's make sure that we, you know, we attend to it. But here's the real big lesson for me. And that is that the way we're able to cope with a crisis when it happens like this, particularly these unexpected things that happen, is a direct legacy of how we manage ourselves and our businesses in good times. Because what we do when we're confronted with a crisis is draw on those reserves of strength that we've already built up over time. When you're in a crisis, it's too late to build up reserves of strength. You're now drawing on that reservoir. So great businesses are always attending to fundamentals. I heard your section on magnet investing, and I was drawn to it because I think your story is about, you know, that you create a great business by building fundamentals. And you're going to be threatened every now and again, and you then draw on your fundamentals. Have you got a lot of cash on your balance sheet? Do you have reserves of strength in your people and capabilities? It's too late to try and build those up in the middle of a crisis. You are drawing on those, and you emerge at the other end. Also, it's a terrific opportunity if you have those fundamentals that are strong, that resilience, that readiness, that you can grab opportunities if your competitors are back on their heels and are more vulnerable. So I think the key lesson is about leading through a crisis is it's leading through a crisis, not just in a crisis, and drawing on those reserves.
No, I think that's beautiful, and I think I saw that you had written some notes on your website. We'll get through all your contact information in the next segment, but it's the heart of what you talk about, learning through, adapting through, and continuing to gain momentum by learning as an organization. I think it's a great point. We're going to take a quick break, Willie, and then we're going to have you right back for the next segment, okay?
Terrific.
Alrighty, folks, we need a quick break for the sponsors. We'll be back with more Magnet Investing. We'll have Willie Peterson continue on with us for the next segment. Stick with us. We'll be right back following a quick break.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magnet Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magnet Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Perform at your maximum potential, you need to have all aspects of your life working properly. On Mind, Brain, and Body, Dr. Michael John Kell will bring you honest, open discussions concerning your physical, mental, and financial health. If you're ready to find purpose and meaning in your life, tune in to Mind, Brain, and Body every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Mind, Brain, and Body on Voice America Health and Wellness. Radio dedicated to your health, wealth, wisdom, and purpose.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Magna Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We are lucky enough, Willie Peterson has been kind enough to join us for another segment, the author of Strategic Learning on the major bookstores and, oh, I'm sure, on online, and the professor over at Columbia Business School. And we were talking, Willie, over the break, something that's become very important to us, the subject of rebuilding trust in organizations and businesses. And, you know, I think, first of all, I wanted to share, as the former CEO of Tropicana Seagram's, it's the larger organizations sometimes that have the resources to delve into this. How do you protect your brand? How do you protect all your stakeholders, not just your shareholders? And let me just kind of open the floor for you to share some thoughts in that vein.
Yeah, by all means. You know, let me start with, for me, storytelling or the use of metaphors is a great way to understand concepts at a real level. And let me just introduce this. It's not a new story, but it brings it into sharp focus, this issue of trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in ancient Roman times, it was the practice. I mentioned this little allegory in my book. It was the practice for the patrician families, the very sort of upscale families, to have a bust of the head of the family sculptured and placed in the front of the villa. So passers-by would look at this and say, well, that's a really important family because, look, there's a sculpture of the head of the family. Mm-hmm. And there were two kinds of sculptors in Rome. There was one kind that charged lower prices, but their sculptures had some flaws in it. They covered these flaws with a hidden wax. But now what happened if you put one of those in your front, the front of your villa, and the wind and the rain and the sun beat down on you, all of those imperfections were clear to everybody who passed by. There was another class of sculptors who had a sign above their door. It was in Latin, and it said Sina Cera, C-E-R-A, meaning without wax. Mm-hmm. And that's where the term sincere comes from. I am without wax.
Hmm.
No pretenses. So I don't try and hide my deficiencies and flaws, and they get discovered when I'm under pressure and the wind and the rain and the sun beat down. So it's at the heart of trust, I think, is the issue of being genuine, of being without wax, of not having pretenses, of saying it like it is, of inviting transparency, of admitting your own mistakes and learning from them, and inviting others to do the same. So I just introduced the topic that way because at the very essence of it lies this issue of being genuine and not trying to portray a false picture.
Right. What a great introduction to it. I mean, I actually love that. I've heard of the without wax before, but never really heard the story told that well. And you know, you're bringing up another word that I think is part of it all, which is authenticity.
Yes, that's right.
You can turn around and say you're going green, you're thinking green, but I think that, you know, in Chapter 8 of your book, it's about compelling leadership. And I think it's got to come from the top, and you even have a subchapter, Building a Cathedral. Maybe that chapter is apropos to what we're talking about.
Very much so. And you know what it really translates to is this. We were talking earlier about strategy, and we need to have a very clear, compelling strategy about how we'll create competitive advantage and how we'll win in the marketplace and all the rest of that. My strong urging here to any organizational leader at any level in the organization is to say this. Strategy is not simply a document. That's the starting point. That's where you create clarity. But the end point of it is that strategy is a story. It's a narrative. And leaders should be able to tell that story to ignite passion and commitment amongst people, as opposed to just compliance. And it's in that context that I tell this little story about the cathedral. Imagine a corporate executive walking along a sidewalk, and there's a construction site, and he stops and says to the first worker, "What are you doing?" And the worker says, "I'm digging a hole." He says to the second one, "And you, what are you doing?" And the answer is, "I'm laying bricks." And to the third, "What about you?" And the third one answers, "I'm building a cathedral." Now, I love that little story, simple as it is, because it illustrates that what really effective leaders do is that they are able to describe the cathedral. So they're able to go to the person who's digging a hole and saying, "You know, what you do is vitally important because you're building very strong foundations so this cathedral can stand for 1,000 years. And saying to the one laying bricks, "We're building the most beautiful cathedral the world has ever seen, with a lovely facade, depending on your bricklaying capability, so thousands will come to admire it." It's always this issue of creating meaning for people in an organization by highlighting to them and giving them a very vivid picture. This is the cathedral we seek to build. Make it dead simple. Make it very arresting and exciting. And give people a sense of, "This is my contribution and why I matter." That's the beginning of it. But, of course, it has to be authentic, not some kind of manufactured idea. And it's that ability, I think, to describe the cathedral that lies at the essence of leadership and the ability to for everybody to understand how where they fit in and why they're important.
Right. And I think that's a great, great, you know, you take that even to the next level of not only your own employees, but really all the stakeholders, the, you know, figuring out a way for the employees, for each plant manager to understand the importance of the community. And I think, you know, you really have a very, very strong, not only teaching ability, but obviously, but being on the front line as the CEO, I think one of the things that people talk about is, you know, as companies want to go green, maybe they're just giving the message, and now this new term comes out called greenwashing, where people aren't authentic. And I think maybe you can share, is it more important to do the good deed or to kind of communicate the good deed? Is there a way to blend them?
You know, let me try and provide an attempt at answer, at least. I mean, okay. We seek wisdom. When we pose these questions, the magic of it is that we're pushing forward our level of understanding, right? So
sure.
Let's explore it together. I think at the heart of this is for people to understand why they should care. Why does it matter? Mm. You know, Nietzsche, who was a German philosopher, said something very compelling. And that's before he went nuts, by the way. And I always tease people and say, don't pay any attention to what he said after he went nuts. But before he did, he said this: people will do almost any what if you give them a good why. And I think the mistake we tend to make as leaders is to keep harping on the what. We need to do stuff that's green. Our packaging needs to be green. Our behavior needs to be green so we don't have effluent going to rivers, etc. We need as leaders to give people a good why. There are a number of questions that are in every employee's mind, maybe unspoken, but they're there. And question one is, what are we trying to achieve, and why should I care? Number two is, how will we measure success, and where do I fit in? What's expected of me?
Mm.
And the third one then really is, at the end of the day, you know, what's in it for me in terms of my own personal growth and material, you know, benefits? So these questions are there. Why should I care? Now, here's the difference. If people get given a good reason to care about what they're doing, you'll get commitment from them. If you just give them the what, you'll get compliance from them.
Mm.
And from me, the whole world of success lies in the gap between compliance and commitment. So I think that's where I would start in thinking about this issue of green, is being utterly clear about why we should care.
Right. Well, let me share, and I really mean this sincerely, you know, the listeners today on our show got a treat. It's obvious the students over at the Columbia Business School are getting a treat. You're the professor of practice of management, and I believe that readers of Strategic Learning will get their own treat. Willie, I really appreciate you being here. I want to just mention, folks, I've been on the website. The spelling is P-I-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. It's williepeterson.com. I saw you even have your learning from volcanic ash. You're learning from everything that's transpiring in front of you. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I guess that's probably the best contact information to share. It's Willie Peterson, P-I-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. There might be something, Willie, that's in the front of your mind I didn't get to. We have a couple minutes before we go to the next commercial break. Anything you want to share, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, just my final point is that great leaders are always great storytellers. And to think hard about that. And that doesn't mean being an extrovert. That simply means having the ability to provide vivid pictures that live in people's minds. And that is a guide to their actions and their motivations. And so my urging to all leaders always is to translate your strategy into a compelling story that wins hearts and minds. That's my final thought for you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, your story of Without Wax, the cathedral, these I know are going to stick with me. They'll stick with our listeners. I really appreciate your time, and I'm going to reach out to you, if possible, on our Trust Across America. I think you'd have a lot to offer. And again, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jordan, for having me on.
All righty. And folks, we do need a quick commercial break. And following that break, we're going to bring on yet another guest, another expert, whose book I happened to see while I was over at Barnes & Noble just yesterday. And folks, we will be right back with more trust, with more magnet investing right after this commercial break. Thank you.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
At the Magna Investment Group, our job is to maximize returns for both institutional and individual investors. We have a team of licensed investment professionals who are available to handle all facets of financial planning, insurance, and investing for individual retail accounts. Go online now at magnetinvesting.com and see what we can do to help your financial success. Call right now, 1-973-895-4444. The Magna Investment Group, a disciplined way to pick winning stocks.
It's sex education like you've never heard before. Want to improve your love life? You know, that love life. Join sexual wellness expert and certified erotic educator Jaya for Sex with Jaya. She'll bring you cutting-edge techniques to expand your erotic repertoire. Jaya will offer advice and speak with guests who will shed light on everything to do with sex. You can even listen together with that special someone. Sex with Jaya is broadcast live every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back to Magna Investing, and it's a pleasure to bring on Sean Broderick. Sean is the analyst for the Small Cap Natural Resource over at Weiss Research. We know he also contributes over at Uncommon Wisdom Daily. But over in Barnes & Noble yesterday, Sean's book, The Ultimate Suburban Survivalist Guide, The Smartest Money Moves to Prepare for Any Crisis, I saw it prominently displayed. I know it's selling well. Sean, thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Right, and I know that, you know, when I first saw your title, I was kind of scared, you know, another gloom and doom guy talking about, oh my God, suburban survivalist. But when you go through it a little bit, the whole idea of the smartest moves to prepare for any crisis, you know, anything can happen, and you brought one up right during the break. Why don't you first share a little bit of your own information and what got you to write The Ultimate Survivalist Guide, and then we'll get into some of the details.
Sure. Well, I work for Weiss Research in Florida, and really for years I have just been working in like small caps, resources, that kind of thing. But we had a string of hurricanes here some years back, which really got me into just being really prepared to ride things out, because I just realized how vulnerable I was and like my whole family was, and so I just wanted to be more prepared. That was hammered home when I saw what happened with Hurricane Katrina, because those poor people, I mean, many of them did not have a chance. They were depending on the government to save them, when really they need to look to themselves to just really be prepared to, like, save themselves and not sit around on their couches waiting for the government to come by. And so that's basically what this book really came out of. Now, I do cover a lot of scary things, which is everything from energy crisis, food crisis, water crisis, climate crisis, debt crisis, economic, you know, really chaos, that kind of stuff. Maybe even shutdowns of large portions of the U.S. energy grid. But I also cover what you might call the everyday emergencies, things like a fire or flood, which are the two most common disasters that you could face in your lifetime. So those are the kinds of things that I wrote about. And very interestingly, we saw something yesterday that I talked about in the book, which is yesterday millions of computers around the world just shut down. The problem was an antivirus program that went wrong. Not a virus, but the virus program went wrong. We had it happen right here at Weiss, and I was one of the few people who was actually able to work yesterday, because I actually prepare for this kind of thing, and we will probably see more of this in the future. People think they have access to the internet all the time, and it'll only get better, but the fact is it's probably going to get worse, because the system is so complicated and there's so many bugs in it that the chance of it not working actually goes up over time.
Right, and that's scary. I mean, the thing is there's 101 things we try to prepare for. There's things we don't even think of. Maybe share a couple other survivalist guides you're pointing out in your book that we really ought to be thinking about, but we're not yet.
Well, I think that the huge financial crisis that we had in the U.S. recently, most people seem to think that's over. I don't think it is. They aren't doing anything in Washington to really fix it. They're only really kind of, you know, printing more money to just kind of wash over the problem. The problem is that those underlying rocks remain, and we could run into those again. People should be thinking about, what if we have a real financial crash here in the U.S.? What would you do? What would you do if they shut down the banks for 2 weeks to just, like, sort those out? Most people live on plastic now. They don't have any cash at home. You should have enough cash at home so that you could ride out 2 weeks of the banks being shut down, and also think about the other things that could also cause. We could have a energy crisis because of somebody getting a little crazy over, you know, in, like, other parts of the world, because our supply lines stretch all the way around the world. And so if someone in, say, Iran gets a little out of hand, things could really scale out of control. Are you prepared for a situation where, you know, the price of gasoline spikes higher and stays high for a long time before it comes back down again. How will you get around? In the book, I also address that. And also things like if, like, for example, you have a crisis that is really disruptive. Many people in, like, America need some kind of a medication to just get through their day. More than half of our population is on one pill or another. Well, the problem is they won't let you actually stockpile any pills. So what are you going to do if your medicine is actually cut off? In the book, I also talk about that. Things you can grow in your own garden. And I'm a big proponent of, like, having your own garden for a whole bunch of reasons, but there are things you can grow in your own garden that can see you through hard times. And so those are a few of the other things I have in there.
Right. Well, you know what? I never want to minimize this. Anyone who is prepared ahead of time are always the winners, really, in every crisis. And, you know, while a lot of people think about what good can come out of investing, I think it's really important to think of all the potential dangers, being aware of them. I'm guessing, Sean, you got a bunch of bottled water at home?
Yes, I do. But one thing you can do to cut down on the amount of water you need to store, and you should store at least 2 gallons per person in your family, plus your pets, for at least 3 days, then build that up to a week, that kind of thing. But you can also have, a water purifier. And so that cuts down on the amount you have to store. You can pretty much take any water out of a ditch, run it through a purifier, and just be able to, like, live off that. There are many things you can do, and they don't cost a lot of money. That's the whole thing about the book, too, is a lot of the stuff in my book is how to save money now so you can have extra money to either spend on, you know, this kind of stuff or else whatever you want, really. But if you do the smart things now, you will save yourself so much money in the long term. Because when people get scared about things, and you know bad things can happen at, like, any time, the natural human reaction is to throw money at problems. Mm-hmm. And so by just doing these small preparation tips now, you can save yourself a whole lot. And at the end of each chapter, by the way, I have a section called The Least You Can Do, which is quite literally the least you can do on any topic. But if you have those bases covered, you'll be so far ahead of most of the people around you, because most Americans, I'm afraid, live in a bubble. They don't think the bad things can happen here. They certainly don't think the bad things can happen to them. But as recent events have shown, you know, the bad things can happen here. And so if you just spend a few hours and actually prepare for these things now, you'll be so much better off.
Right. Well, forewarned and prepared is always better. Sean, I'd like you to do me a favor. If, you know, I know you're writing here, you're writing there. Please give out any and all contact information, where to read your Uncommon Wisdom Daily, where to find the book. The floor is yours.
Sure. You can read my stuff every day on our free website, which is called uncommonwisdomdaily.com. And if you go there, click on blogs, and then you look for my smiling face. It'll say Sean Broderick right next to it. Then you can read the stuff that I write every day. I also have a new column every Friday. The one this Friday will be about silver. And I also have my book, which you can find at Amazon.com. It's called The Ultimate Suburban Survivalist Guide. Or else you can go to ultimatesuburbansurvivalist.com, and you can also find it that way.
Sean, really a pleasure to have you on. I think your book is fascinating. Let's hope that we don't have to be literally using all the survival guides, but being prepared is the key. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me on, too.
All righty, my pleasure. And folks, we're at the end of another hour. I want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back next week with more of the leading authorities in investing, in survival, in sustainability, in corporate governance. What we need to do is wrap up. Thank Voice America engineers. Thank all of our helpers. Thank all of our bookers. And look forward to seeing you right here next week on Magnet Investing. Have a great week ahead. See you next week. Thanks again.
The
Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magna Investing right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.